Turn with me again this week to Daniel chapter 2. Beginning in verse 28, let's hear the word of God. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. The great image whose splendor was excellent stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, he has given them into your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another. Just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning as we're privileged again to open your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scripture to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. I thank you for it. Amen. God has blessed Daniel and ordained him to a prophetic ministry during a difficult time. A time when he's a young man carried away from his own home in a strange place. And not only is he called to be a prophet for God, he's placed in an advisory role in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. But now he stands with a death sentence hanging over his head. Only if he's unable to pacify this very proud king. And Daniel did what any child of God should do in any situation in life. So he went to his heavenly Father in prayer and he said, help. He said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't tell this king what his dream was. I don't know it. I need your help. It's a simple prayer that we can use whether our situation is dire or we're just dealing with something relatively simple. We don't have the answers, God does. And Daniel just did that. He just went to God and he said, help. And God did help him. He gave Daniel exactly what the king wanted to know. And Daniel, of course, gave the glory to God. Daniel didn't say thank you and say, look what I can do. He said, thank you, Lord. In verse 31, where we'll actually start this morning, Daniel starts by giving Nebuchadnezzar the trickiest part of his demand. He says, what was the dream? Of course, that's the trickiest part. Anybody could have faked an interpretation if they had something to work with. Nebuchadnezzar wanted the whole shebang. And so Daniel says to him, you saw a man, an image of a man. This statue that was constructed was made of different materials. It had a head of gold. It had a chest made of silver. And his belly and his thighs were made of bronze. And the legs were made of iron. And the feet were made partly of iron and partly of clay. You saw this great statue, this elaborate being, if you would, standing there. And then you saw a stone. A stone that was cut out without hands. A stone that rolled down upon this image like a bowling ball down a lane. That once it hit the feet of that statue, it obliterated it. It collapsed it and crushed it. And then that stone, after turning this image into powder, planted itself as a mountain and just grew until it encompassed the earth. This, O king, was your dream. And Nebuchadnezzar was impressed. He said, that's right. He's pleased with what it was that Daniel could tell him. But now he wanted to know more. You know, he didn't just want his dream repeated back to him. He wanted to know, what is it that this dream meant? And Daniel says to him, you are the head of gold. Hey, well, you know what? If I'm Nebuchadnezzar, I'm feeling pretty good about that. He says, you are a king of kings. You are a mighty man. You have dominion over basically everything. The peoples of this world, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, they're all under your dominion. They're all under your dictate. God has given you a special place in this world. And it's important, O king, that you do understand that this was given to you by God. Remember in Daniel's prayer back in the 21st verse, he said, he raises up kings and he removes kings. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, you didn't obtain your position because of your great political acumen. You didn't become this king of kings because of your overwhelming charisma. None of the things that we assume to be a part of a political escalation was a part of Nebuchadnezzar's appointment. He was there because God had put him there for that time for his purpose. But he said, O king, O great Nebuchadnezzar, as great as you are, kingdom is not going to last. There are going to be others that come behind you. They'll be inferior to you, if that makes you feel any better. But they'll still be coming along. There will still be others who rule this part of the world. And you know, when we look at this dream and we look at the different images, the temptation is there. They say, all right, we know that the gold head is Babylon, but who are these other guys? Who are these other kingdoms that come along? And scholars will speculate and argue. They'll say, all right, we know it's Babylon. And some will say, well, then the next, the silver, that's Media. And following that is Persia. And then Greece. And others will say, no. It's Babylon, of course. And then it's Medo-Persia. And then it's Greece. And then it's Rome. And it's once you get a good argument going about which one's which and who's going on there, somebody has to argue, well, who's the 10 toes? Somebody's got to be the toes. If we fall into that trap, if we go into arguing what God clearly does not tell us in this passage, we miss the whole point of the passage. We miss what it is that's being told to Nebuchadnezzar. Because it's not about who is going to follow him. It's about what. This is what is going to happen. Your great kingdom is going to be followed by an inferior kingdom and another less or more inferior kingdom. And finally, another more inferior kingdom. And all of these will be just angry people trying to crush one another. You get down to the guy who's iron, and he just wants to beat everybody up. He wants to conquer in the most vicious of ways. But another thing we can do by looking at this image of Nebuchadnezzar is we can actually relate to the history of mankind. We look at the gold head and we see mankind in his origin. As God created him, he's blessed in the beginning. He lived in a truly golden age. But he fell. And each generation that came behind fell a little bit further and a little bit further. And that bliss that once was experienced by newly created man is now something that we only look forward to in its purity. But, and if I can quote Dr. Duquette, he said, the final word of history does not lie with a new and improved statue of man. Rather, it lies with something radical that God will do. A rock that is not hewn by human hands will strike and demolish the statue and then grow to fill the earth. A rock that starts small and somewhat insignificant, but by the power of God, grows and gets to the point where it dominates the earth. The kingdom of God. You know, there is a phrase that I, over the years, had come to greatly dislike. It's the phrase, things change. When I was in the film business, every now and then a studio would say, we don't want it this way anymore. And it would be an aggravation for we who were the physical distributors. And my boss would always say, well, you know, things change. And as time progressed in that business, you started to hear things change a lot more. And I really started to hate that. I don't want to hear that things change, even though we know that it's true. And we either adapt or we get left behind. Things change. The United States of the year 2014 is not the United States of the year 1964. Or 1934, or even 1794. Things change, and it's not always for the better. But here's something that you need to get your mind around just a little bit. It may be hard. This changing world is not what life is all about. What is our focus? What are our priorities? What's most important to us in our life? What kingdom are we working to build? You know, sometimes if we judge things solely by what we see, it's kind of easy to get discouraged. If we just look around and view the landscape of this world, this country, we might actually be able to convince ourselves, you know what, the church is weak. The church is powerless. The church talks a good line, but what can it do? Abortions are still happening every day. Every day, women are going into mills and having their children killed. Every day. If we look at the media in general, we would easily become convinced that the homosexual agenda is winning. It's winning. There are disgusting things that you hear out there. I'm going to try and relate a story to you. Hopefully I can remember it. But I was listening to the radio the other day, and you all may be familiar with the case of a baker in Colorado who refused to bake a wedding cake for a homosexual couple who wanted to get married. But you got to understand there is no such thing as homosexual marriage. That being said, we have to use certain languages just to communicate. They went to court. The court ruled against the baker. The baker said, fine. I will opt out of the wedding cake business. If I'm being persuaded by the government to do this, then I'm opting out. I'll bake other stuff, bake pies, cookies, whatever, but I'm not going to do that. Colorado apparently has some type of a civil rights board that is in some respects toothless, but nevertheless, they have a board that exists. This board was requiring this baker now to ask every customer who came through the door what their sexual orientation was and keep a record of it. The baker was also to be required to keep a log of everybody who came through the door and of anybody who they refused to serve in some way. If we look at situations like that, we say, what's happening? Why isn't the church overwhelming that? And we can become discouraged. We may look at our own lives and say, why is my personal holiness not growing? Why am I not becoming more sanctified? Why am I not where I think I ought to be in my life? And we might become discouraged. It's in those times when the temptation to despair becomes great. And it's in those times where we must deliberately focus our eyes on Jesus. Because if we internalize, if our eyes and focus go inward, you're shot. You're done. You need to look at the King of Kings. You need to look at the Victor. Because no one, no thing can prevent him from accomplishing his purpose. Nothing can prevent Jesus Christ from accomplishing his purpose. Understand that. Regardless of what the landscape looks like, Christ is victorious. He is winning. Whether it's in this world or in our own lives, remember, he who began a good work is faithful to complete that work. Thank God he doesn't depend on us to get it completed. Fickle, frail human beings that we are. Our faith is in him. We especially need to remember to keep our focus on Jesus when times are bad. And to understand that the kingdom that we seek to build is a kingdom that is greater than the grave. It is not a kingdom that will be done away with in time. The time is coming when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. This truth is also important for us to keep in mind when things are going well. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. It couldn't get any better for him. But it wasn't going to last. We get the opportunity to enjoy God's blessings in this life. And the things sometimes that we think of as good blessings, somebody brought us just the thing that we wanted, we were desiring at that certain point in time. And this is a great blessing from God. We went to the offering box one Sunday morning, and you know what? Somebody who we didn't even see walk in the door put a check in there for $1 million. Woohoo! Good times. We got to be mindful, whatever those things are. The blessings are from God. Our focus has to be on Him. It's not our great accomplishment. It's God working through us. It's His blessing to us. It's not our failure. It's God's purpose in our life for His glory. The rock in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, of course, is Jesus Christ. The stone that was rejected by the builders of Israel. This little stone that would grow and displace all the kingdoms of this earth. Understand, if you think about that, how can you not get excited if you are living within the kingdom of God? This eternal kingdom that will not pass away. To serve the King who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. Jesus talked about His kingdom as in parables. He said, you know, it's like a mustard seed. This little tiny thing that you plant in the ground that you can barely see. That God, when He blesses, grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger until all the birds in the world come and nest in its branches. That's pretty big. Our desire as Christians ought to be the longing for our King's return. To see our King in all His majesty and in all His glory. To know that He reigns and sits enthroned and that sin is forever vanquished. What a blissful thought. Sin no more. You see, without the sin, we're not going to have those stumblings every day. Without that sin, without sin in this world, we're not going to have that wicked thought. Without sin in this world, we're not going to have bodies that are frail and fall apart. Our Lord has vanquished sin, and we long for the day when the King returns. And we hear, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And the church in one accord reply, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Handel did it better. Nebuchadnezzar, this great man, the golden head of the image, received this interpretation. And you know, initially, you might think, well, yeah, he was pretty excited at first because Daniel was kind of building him up. But then he heard the rest of the story. And you might have think Nebuchadnezzar, considering the temperamental kind of a fellow he was, might have got really ticked off at Daniel and said, I was going to kill you before, but now why not now? You know, because bring me bad news. But that's not what happened. You see, God blessed. God moved. The King of Kings overruled a King of Kings. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard the interpretation of that dream, what did he do? He fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, this 19-year-old kid, thereabouts. And he declared that God was God. Understand, the Almighty didn't need Nebuchadnezzar's approval. But it was a momentary realization on his part. And God used that opportunity to bless Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Because of that blessing that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, God blessed those men and promoted them in the kingdom. The three Hebrews were appointed different areas of Babylon to oversee, and Daniel served in the king's court. He was brought in as a personal advisor. God's blessing is there for us, even if we don't see it. Even if we refuse to see it. Sometimes things change, they have to change. Our focus has to change. We have to quit saying, oh, this don't look like anything's happening, to saying, you know what, Lord, it's in your hands. It's all yours. Use us. Do with us what you will. Let's pray.